Well, good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Tom, and we'd like to welcome you to our Unity Center for Positive Living. We're really glad you could join us this morning. I'd like to read to you from our daily word. I let God be God in me. Meister Eckhart, 14th century German mystic, thought, all that God asks you most pressingly is to go out of yourself and let God be God in you. Reflecting on Eckhart's words, I remember that whenever I'm doing, I need to never feel frustrated by the limits of human wisdom and understanding. Letting go and letting God reminds me that God's presence is with me throughout every experience in my life. God's love, light, wisdom, understanding, and strength are mine. Even my inner power of release works through me whenever I call upon it. My human self, together with the indwelling presence of God, the Christ in me, brings good into my life. The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. And that's from John 14:10. And let us remain seated while Isaac and Karen and Mike meet us in Shirley in the presence, and that's in front of yourself.
Surely the presence of God's love is in the ways. I can feel the mighty power and the grace. I can feel the rush of angel wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of God's love is in this place. Surely the presence of God's love is in this place.
Would you come to me?
Would you come to me and ease my pain? If you needed me, I would come to you. I would swim the seas for ease your pain.
That's the one you should have had on when we took your picture.
Oh, now you tell me.
We're gonna have to take another one now.
Where can I put
your shirt?
Yeah, right.
Where's Rosie at today?
You should have had this one.
Oh, I envy her.
Yes, should have.
Gonna blow the camera.
Good morning. How are you doing, Joyce?
No, she's
coming.
Oh, there she is.
Good morning, Johnny. How are you today, morning?
Hey,
Johnny. Doing great.
Well, I got out of many jabs last night. Well, I got a bit good. I could back to the street.
Freak.
Good
morning,
Gary.
Hi, Bernadette. Yeah, I know.
Good morning to you. How are you?
Oh, no problem.
Stepped on the camera. Thought it was a foot, but it was...
Morning, bird.
Oh, you got a happy.
Keep out the tub, baby.
Good.
Good
morning.
No, it's just sitting on the bookcase right now. I gotta hang it on the wall.
We're gonna nail the upper wall there.
Hang it on the door.
It's on the bookshelf.
We're running out of room on that wall.
Okay. Lady downstairs.
Say hi to Penny.
Oh. Yeah, let's go say hi to Penny. We're coming to say hi. Penny's downstairs.
Yeah.
Well, we need a whole crew.
Good. Oh, we have to run downstairs.
Take your time. You're an honored guest. You can
There we go.
Privy.
My pleasure. Right. Hugs are really important here. And I've talked to other people who have heard about what we do. And they go, the hugs, really like that. That is the peace song at the end, where we all hold hands together and create a circle. That's so powerful, so magical, and that we rock. All right. Our regularly scheduled activities are located on a calendar hanging in the hallway downstairs. Does anyone have any announcements or things that they would like to share? Yes.
Fastfit is. We're having fun, actually, with the entire church. Next Sunday, probably 3 o'clock? 3 o'clock on, we're having a Super Bowl party.
Woohoo!
At our house.
Oh, excellent.
So just bring yourselves. Don't bring anything to eat or drink. Just bring yourselves and stuff and wear any football regalia you want to wear. Support any team. Just wear what you want to wear.
And even 49ers?
Even 49ers. We're talking about this next time. Yeah, anything you want to wear.
I wore Seahawks gear, but they're not so here anymore.
Somewhere. So, yes, so we're going to be saying, or gear you want to wear, like I said, it's from 3 o'clock on and stuff. And we would like to know how many people coming at the latest part of our Wednesday, so we need to adjust anything. So, yes. Yep, so that's the announcement.
Okay. That's right, you can call.
Yeah.
Right. Wow, thank you. That's huge. Anything else? Anyone else? Yes!
My daughter was up from Florida, and we went over to Grandfather's Roy's on Friday. And I tell you, every time I go in there, he's changing stuff around, and it's amazing what you can see in that museum. So you better figure 2.5 to 3 hours at least to go through there. But I mean, every time you go in there, it's changed. And so if you haven't been there in a while, I would say go over and check it out again. Call first, but I called and he fitted this in, my daughter, and my daughter just loved it.
Thanks.
Yeah, I would.
For anyone who's never been there, it's an amazing display of just the museum itself. He has people come down from all over the country, all over the world, to see the artifacts and pieces of Native American creations. It's pretty amazing. Also, while we're mentioning Grandfather Roy, today is the fourth Sunday. And if I'm not mistaken, the third edition of the Medicine Wheel teachings is going on today at 3 o'clock. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, we have a bunch of people who usually go, and something everybody should check out at least once. It's in Winlock. At Grandfather Roy's complex?
Longhouse.
There we go. Thank you. Which is next to the library, which is next to the museum. Okay. All right. So please join me in our unity statement as found in your program. And let's say it together. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing stand for our song of joy, Magic Penny. That's number 179.
Love is something if you give it away, give it away, give it away. Love is something if you give it away, you end up having more. It's just like a magic penny, hold it tight and you won't have any. Lend it, spend it, and you'll have so many.
Short, I can say that.
That's right. So, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So, as usual, I started all my readings a couple weeks ago and trying to figure out what I was going to read for the day. But since my thoughts seem to change every day, I finally came up with something that I hadn't even started with. I came up with it yesterday. But I think it's something we all can relate to. It's about age, not growing old, but what we think about it. It's called The Age of Self. It's in a Unity booklet.
A little closer to the mic, Ellie, I can't hear you.
I know I'm getting shorter.
Is that thing on?
Aging is an amazing process. Many of us don't even realize we are aging until we see that first gray hair. I can remember wondering when I saw it, if I was getting old. But by practicing spiritual awareness, I came to understand that gray hairs are not an indication of getting old. A gray attitude, however, is. I try to avoid gray attitude days by recognizing and expressing my true spiritual nature. Aging is normal. It's healthy and inevitable for the body. However, the spirit within me never ages or gets old. It is powerful and indestructible, and it is my true self. Many gray hairs later, I have come to appreciate my hair and my body as they age, at least most of the time for me. Our bodies are not who we are. They are the shrine that we reside in. And as we begin to understand the relationship of body, mind, and soul, which is the unity threefold expression of spirit, we become free to manifest spirit more abundantly. Our bodies are but an outer expression of the perfection of the Christ mind, and our soul is the inner expression of the same mind. As I focus my attention on being one with the Christ mind, my body ages gracefully, and the gray hairs are no big deal. If I choose to focus on keeping my body looking youthful, I can get discouraged. When I look in the mirror today, I see beyond my physical self to an ageless expression of spirit that loves to sing, play, and be silly, just as when my body was much younger. Charles Fillmore discovered the truth of spiritual dominion over his body when at age 94, he said, he fairly sizzled with zeal and enthusiasm. He experienced health and wholeness at 94 as a demonstration of spirit's timeless expression of youth. We too can age gracefully. In fact, we can age with grace, dignity, and the knowledge that spirit is who we really are. And spirit does not age, wrinkle, or have gray hair. Spirit will also be with us when our bodies are ill or tired. I thank spirit every day for being my true self as my body ages and for nurturing my body, mind, and soul. Thank you.
Thank you, Hallie. And now please remain seated for our meditation song, Long Time Sunshine.
Comes to me in perfect time.
as today is the fourth Sunday, we will be using the Progressive Lord's Prayer. And that's found on the sheet in your hymnal. Be sure to put it back, please. Together, our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, I am. I am thy kingdom come. I am thy will be done. I am on earth, even as I am in heaven. I am giving this day daily bread to all. I am forgiving all life, even as I am also all life forgiving me. I am leading all men and women from temptation. I am delivering all men and women from error. For I am the kingdom, I am the power, and I am the glory of God, in eternal, immortal manifestation. All this I am. And we are privileged every Sunday. Pardon me? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And this particular Sunday was no different. I have known for quite some time, thank you, Susan, she knows I like to plan ahead, so I've known for quite a while that I was going to speak this Sunday, and it wasn't until about 2 weeks ago that I had any clue what it was I was going to talk about. And then I spent 2 weeks kind of milling it around in my head and digging through all the various resources I have at my house and not able to find anything that really said what I wanted to say, so you're going to get what I have to say, and not so much what it is that I have dug up in other sources. All right? So today, I want to know about your families. So take a moment, envision your family. What do you consider your family? Take a moment, think about it. Anybody willing to share with us who their family is? We all have at least one. Yes, ma'am.
My family is a gift from God. Ooh. It's just extra gift from God. Your family could be blood, or they can just be somebody.
See, now you're jumping ahead of me here, Dad.
Exactly. God is one of the closest to you, no matter what.
Nice. Okay, so now you already have an idea of where I'm going, but I'm going to go there anyways.
Do it.
Awesome. All right, so when I look up family in Webster's online, you get something that reads as follows. 1A, the basic unit in society traditionally consisting of two parents rearing their children. 1B, any of various social units differing from but regarding as equivalent to the traditional family. 2, a group of persons of common ancestry.
And three, a people or group of peoples regarded as deriving from common stock. All right? This is how Webster's defines family. So, my earliest understanding of family totally falls in line with that. Hallie has mentioned that she likes hearing about my family, so you're going to hear about my family today. When I think of family, the first thing that comes to mind is the really large number of individuals that encompass the traditional idea of a family. So I have a mom and a dad. They've been divorced for almost 30 years. So my dad has remarried and they've been together for almost 25 years. So I have a stepmom. My mom was together with a gentleman that could be considered my stepdad. They never married. They had two children, right? So he's part of my family. Well, when they are no longer together, he went out in the world and he found a partner. So his partner is also now a member of my family. I have four siblings. Two of those siblings have now married, bringing in more family. With them, they have created then five nieces, more family. I have my husband, my two beautiful daughters, the men that they married, and three, soon to be four, grandchildren. I have quite a family, right? But as Hallie was interested in hearing, I also have some 30-odd aunts and uncles, once you count the spouses, and the almost uncountable cousins that come with that, and that's first cousins. So I understand the Webster's traditional definition of what a family is, right? And you're with me there, right? We all have one. We all have parents, whether they're people we want to claim as our parents or not. We have parents, and some of us have siblings and so forth. So I understand that. But what does it mean to be part of a family? What does a family mean to you? So I have to apologize. I have not caught your name yet.
Jessica.
Jessica, thank you, darling. So what does it mean to you to be a part of a family?
To always be there. Like this is part of a family.
Oh, see, she's good.
And just to feel comfortable, secure, safe. You trust everybody that's in your family. No matter what, they care about you. They don't judge you. They don't belittle you. They don't think they're better than you. And they don't criticize you. And you just feel they help you no matter what. You know that when they're lecturing you, and that's because they love you and that's because they care for you.
I really appreciate that you went there when they lecture you. They are telling you things you need to hear. They are still your family and love you. Awesome. So, does it mean that you always get along?
No.
I have two brothers that I grew up with. My sisters, Miss Jenny being one of them, they came along a little bit later. You know, I was a teenager by the time they were born, so we didn't have that whole sibling thing. But I've got two brothers, and let me tell you, not always get along. Right. Does it mean that you share the same beliefs? In a family the size of mine, we have varied and wide-ranging beliefs. We will call them Facebook discussions, illustrate the vast rift in beliefs within my large family. So we don't always share the same beliefs. Does it mean you always like each other? No. Many, many times in my life, and I may not be totally proud of it, I have been heard to say, I have to love you, but I don't have to like you right now. As Alana nods, this is my daughter, by the way, Miss Alana. She's having the emotions right now. She's my soon-to-be fourth grandbaby, so she's full of the hormones and emotions. So forgive her kind of like hiding over here. She's feeling the loves right now.
It's okay.
Sorry.
Oh, Mom.
So no, you don't always have to like each other. So then what does it mean to be part of a family? If you don't always have to like each other, you don't always have to get along, you don't have to share the same beliefs, what does it mean to be a family? Well, in my opinion, I'm on the same boat as Jessica over here, and I'm assuming most of you are as well. In my opinion, family does. They help when you need it. They encourage, they support, they celebrate with you, and they comfort you when needed. And sometimes Family tells you the hard things.
Yep.
And they push you to be better and do more than you ever thought you could. To me, that's what family is. Now, here is my one. I found it someplace else other than the dictionary. In What Does It Mean to Be in a Family, Miriam Conception of College of Mount St. Vincent wrote, "What does it mean to be a family? Or more so, what does it mean to be in a family? I couldn't be more grateful for them. They are the ones who tell me nothing is impossible. They constantly remind you that you are loved, that you are amazing, and that you are everything. They are the ones who accept you for who you are.
Yeah.
When you are down, they will be there to rise you up. They will help you grow when someone has hurt you. They will rally up and defend you. When you are in need, they will provide for you. They will move mountains for you." Okay, families, sorry. So a family makes you feel safe, happy, and protected. And the reason this is emotional to me is, having worked in mental health and education, I know that the traditional definition of a family for Webster's is sometimes the most toxic family there is. I know that especially for our children, it's heartbreaking to know that your first exposure to what love is and family is supposed to be is people that hurt you. I can't even imagine. But I've seen the fallout. I've seen the broken, lost, and confused children and adults that don't know how to trust. That don't know what it is like to have someone willing to drop everything and show up in the middle of the night just to hold you while you cry. Or sleep on your couch to be there in case the kids wake up while you go to the hospital with your alcoholic spouse, as I did 2 weeks ago from my brother. Or have parents willing to drive 8 hours in the winter and pay all the expenses to move you home and help put your life back together. There are people that don't, oh good grief, that don't have that. They don't express that. They don't experience that. Some of us aren't as lucky as others. The saying goes, you can't choose your family. I think that's wrong. People do it all the time. You can't choose the family you were born into, but you can choose the family to be in. You can make a choice to surround yourself with people that are family to you and family for you. At our Unity of Lewis County annual membership meeting on January 12th, Cindy Rose was presented with her certificate of membership to our congregation. I hope she doesn't mind that I've mentioned her. Cindy cried as she expressed her gratitude and spoke of the loss of her mother, and that over the course of the past several months, members of this congregation went from being her dearly departed mother's friends, to being her family. This was that moment when I went, this is what I need to talk about. What is family? What does it mean to be in a family? For some, the true family in their lives are those that fall under Webster's definition number 4. A group of people united by certain convictions or a common affiliation, fellowship. Cindy had touched on a different form of family, a form of family I had given very little thought to, a definition buried way down the list on Webster's page about family. These families that we choose, or that have chosen us, can fill an empty hole in our lives at just the right time. They can be the support we never had, or just the support we need for the moment. They can be the ones we share our big moments with and the small ones. Just as much, or maybe even more, than our blood family. Our family, formed from bonds of shared experiences or interests, can be the family that roots for us and stands by us. They can be our strength and support. Sometimes they come into our lives to be all of that for a short time and then live on in our hearts when we part ways and go out into the world stronger and better for the affiliation and fellowship. I've had many of these families in my life. I just never really thought about them as families. My friend group in middle school, they were my family. They shared all of my middle school experiences with me. My SMU cohort, my St. Martin's people that went to classes with me four nights a week for 2 years, and we shared in the EdTPA experience. They were a family. The paras I worked with at Rochester Middle School, those people that I got to complain about the little children and question what the teachers were thinking, they were my family. My colleagues at Peter G when I first started teaching that helped me to grow as an educator, and the people I work with now that I get to talk about the little children with, they have all been families to me. And of course, my union family. Many times we refer to our work family or church family or even our friend group as family because they support us in those aspects and those places in our lives. Sometimes we marry into families that are more family than the ones we were born into. The love shared for a common person can bind us to a new family that can show us what it means to be supported and cared for. Does the lack of blood relation make these families any less of a family? Does Jessica?
Nope.
No. Thank you, Darla. I don't think so. In fact, sometimes these families are more family than those we share a blood relation with. Sometimes our common experiences form a stronger bond than our common blood. So in this moment, I'd like to invite you to think about your family again, or maybe your families. I know I have several different families in my life, each supporting me and encouraging me in different parts of my life. I want you to hold yours in your heart and mind as you settle in your seat, with your feet flat on the floor, and gently close your eyes. As you hold your family or families in your heart, start to group them. Maybe you have some close family in the center, an extended family gathered to one side, a work family, a church family, maybe a friend family, maybe even a workout family. Whatever families you have in your life, those groups of people that support you in all the things that you do, start to put them together as a family. See each group. Feel the support you get from them. Feel the connection you share. Express gratitude to each group for their part in your life. Now shift your focus out to include the community where these families exist for you. It may be this city, this state, or this country. Feel the gratitude for this community that has provided a space for your various families to exist and coexist. I invite you to shift your focus again to encompass all of the planet Earth, and again to embrace all of the universe and all that exists as we know it. This is your family. God the Creator, all that is, ever has been, and ever will be. With God as Creator, family, all are we. Take a moment to hold your family, all of it, in your heart, in your mind's eye. Bless this family and all that it has brought into your earthly existence. No matter what your family may look like, no matter what bonds you have together, be grateful feel the love, support, and connection with each member you consider to be family. And go forth knowing that you are supported and you are loved by family. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Eileen. For our offering, there are two containers. The silver one is for supporting our center, and the copper one is for our outreach programs. Our offering prayer is located inside your program. Let's say it together as we hold our gift in our hands. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I give and all that I receive. Together, let us say our blessing of thanks that is found in your program. We bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. For our healing, if you would like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, just call out their name or hold them quietly in your heart. Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters. and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. And together, let us say our prayer of protection. You'll find that on the back of your program, on the wall to the right, together. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is.
And all is well.
Okay, let us form that circle to join hands and sing our song of peace. Thank you to everyone who made this Sunday service possible. Mike and Karen and Isaac for the music. Eileen for the
wonderful. We got lots of people.
Wonderful.
All around.
I think we can make it all around. And
the cameraman.
Susan put it together. And all of you who made it possible. There's going to be a time this week when the memory of the wonderful musicians and song leaders and speakers will arrive. And take that moment to share with the person that is with you how wonderful this congregation is, and invite them to come and join us. Thank you.
Thank you.